Week's parsha is Parshas Miketz, but I promised last week that we'll go through the dreams at the end of Parshas Vayeshev and the dreams of Paro. So in last week's parsha, Parshas Vayeshev, it says, "Vayiachad varim ha'elu chatu mashkei melech Mitzrayim." There was a sin of the poorer of the king of Egypt, va'ofe. They sinned. And the Saha Ofer, the baker of the king, Nadoneim, to their master, the Melech Mitzrayim. Okay. So then we know the whole story. They come to prison, and Yosef sees them, and they tell Yosef their dream. Now, these dreams are very, very important dreams. The dreams are actually speaking about, the Midrash explains, and Rabbeinu B'chaim here brings it, speaking about the Golas and the Geula of Klal Yisrael. The Golas of Mitzrayim, and the Geula of Mitzrayim, and that's also what's going to be the dreams of Paro. They're going to be related. So, here it says, Sa'a Mashkim tells his dreams over to Yosef. It says, Begefen Shloshes Rigim. There are three branches, right? Vehip Keporachat Alta. It's, Porachat means it's like it comes out, up. Nitza gives blossom. Hivshilu comes to the state of Hivshilu Eshkolotea. The fruit can ripen. Anovim, the grape. The Kos Paro Biyadi. Cause of Paro is in my hand. I take the grapes el kos Paro, and I squeeze it into the cos of Paro. So we have two coses so far. Vetain et a cos, this cos, al kaf Paro, on the hand of Paro. Yeah. Then there's one more time mentioned cos. So it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ba'od Shoshe Yamim Yisa Parot Roshecha V'Yishivecha Al Kanecha, you'll be placed on your position. Natata Kos Paro Biyado K'mishpat HaRishon Asher Yitem Ashkehu. So it says the fourth Kos. So says Chazal, these four Kosot are remes of the four Kosot, the four cups that we sing, that we use in the Haggadah. These four Kosot, Chazal tell us, Arba Kosot of Geula, four Kosot, four cups of Geula, the four Lashons of Redemption that are mentioned in these Kosot. So, and Rabbeinu B'chaya here brings the concept of Shilu Eshkolotea Navim, that the fruit or the grape came to fruition. Says Higias Manan, this is Rabbeinu B'chaya, Higias Manan Shom Mitzrayim, reached the time of Egypt, Lishtot Kos Hatra'ala, the Kos of Puranut, the Kos of payment, of onish, punishment. Kentim Saba Pasha, you find the Pasha, Abba Pamim Kos, Keneged Abba Kosot Shul Geula. Kenegdam, these are, right? Four courses of Gula, we just said. Connect them. Ati the Kodesh Baruch Hu Lashkot Rishayim. He's going to drink the Rishayim. Arba Kosot Shel Puranot. Four cups of punishment. Shneema. Kach et Kos Hayayin Hachama. Azot Miyadi. Take this Kos of wine. This is impossible to remember. Hachama. Of Chema. Azot Miyadi. Of anger. From me. This is what he's going to pay the Rishayim Latid Lavo. So we see these four Kosot, which represents the Geula of Klal Yisrael, also represent punishment to the Rishayim in the world to come, because the Geula occurred with the Asara Makot. So, what there's also, why is it using the Lashon of Srigim? So it's also written Srigim is the Lashon of Shraga. Shraga in Aramaic is a neh, is light, represents a light. So this gefen, now what is gefen? Gefen we associate, always we saw gefen. Gefen is always associated with Klal Yisrael. So in their gefen, the in their gefen, the anam kabel. We always say that in a chasna. Why? Because the gefen, says the Gemara, the gefen is the only tree, that doesn't, you can't combine it with another tree. It doesn't accept any other trees to, you know, be marked with them, to bring them together. So it represents the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael don't connect with the nations of the world. Klal Yisrael are separate. So these three, this concept of Geffen is associated with Klal Yisrael. Also, Geffen is associated with wine. Speaking about wine here, right? Yain is associated with Midas Adin. Really, it's associated with Midas Bina. Bina is that Midah of Geula. That's the Midah of Geula. The Midah of Geula is Ekieh Asher Ekieh. Ekieh is the Midah of Geula. I will be. The Midah of Bina is the Midah of the mother. The mother who gives birth. The pains of Golus are associated with the pains of a mother at the time of birth. I will be with you. The mother will be with us, right? She's giving birth to us. I, Kiviyochel, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is giving birth to us from the Golus and bringing us out, right? And that's going to be the fruit, Hivshilu Perotea. Hivshilu Perotea, the time comes that our fruit are ready to be ripened, to ready to come out. And that's the time that we're going to be drinking these four kosot of Geula, and there's a punishment going to be in the world against these kosot that are giving these kosot of punishment. We're going to give it to Paro, the Yetzirah, the Rishayim in the world. So this whole dream is a dream of Golus and Geula. That's what this dream's about. Now there's another dream. So this is a good dream for Klal Yisrael. This was a good dream. That's why Yosef, when he saw this dream, was poter it in a good way, because this is associated with Klal Yisrael. The second dream is associated with Umos HaOlam. And therefore Yosef was poter this dream in a bad way. Gave an answer to this dream in a bad way. Vayasa Ofin ki tov pata. It was good what he answered to Sarah Mashkim. Right? V'yomel Yosef. Af ani b'chalomi. Hine shlosha sale chori al roshi. Three like loaves of bread al roshi. Now chori is like charon af, right? Charan. We said charan. We have in Chumash. Charan is associated with charon af. Shalakulish baruch hu. Chori is also the concept of charon af, right? Of anger. So this represents that place of charon af, the place of ra in the world. Yeah. Ubesala Elyon Mikol Machal Paro. This is the Machal of Paro. This is which Paro, who represents the Yetzahara, right? This is the food of Paro. Maase Ofe Va'of Ochelotam. And the birds eat them. Minasal Me'al Roshi. And then Yosef goes and explains it's going to be the death of this person. The Sa. Remember, when we're speaking about the Sa, we're speaking about that Koach. So this is the Koach of the Ra. Yosef's telling this Koach of Paro is going to be removed from the world. The Ra is going to be removed from the world. The time of the Geula, this is the punishment. Not only are they going to be given their punishment, they're going to be completely removed from the world. The Ra is going to be removed. It's going to be eaten. It's going to be buried. That's what this dream's about. And now, we start Parshas Miketz, which this is not only explaining about what happened in the Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, there was a destruction of Egypt. Egypt was completely desolate. But because the Jewish people left Egypt, right? So there was quickly, not in a full, in a proper way, right? We weren't completely, how you say, ready for leaving. B'chipazon, we went out, right? So there was still left Avoda. That Avoda was actually the heir of Rav. The last sparks that weren't collected. We're going to see this parasha speaking of the sparks that Yosef gathers. Those last sparks weren't collected. They're still mu'urav. Erev Rav means they were mixed. There was the Jewish, those people that were mixed with good and bad. And they were taken up by Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe realized that the final biru, the final separation of good from evil wasn't yet done. Because we left Egypt too quickly. We should have been there, right? 400 years. We only 210 years. Right? Chazal said we measure from Yitzchak. But the real pshat is that had we been in there and had we done our job properly, we'd have come out and Klal Yisrael would have cleaned up all the ra, which represented in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim represented the keter, the crown of all the ra. So if we had removed all the ra from the crown, from the kingship of the ra, there would be no ra in the lower parts. But since we didn't clean up there, so the ra, all the other goros, all the other goriot, all the other exiles came, this is the grosses, came because of Golas Mitzrayim, that we didn't clean up in Mitzrayim. And that's the concept that we made, we took out all the Kedusha from Mitzrayim, k'nitzude she'en bo dogim, like a net that doesn't have any fish. I removed everything from Mitzrayim. That's what it meant, that we took out from Mitzrayim, klei kesev and klei zahav. We removed all the Kedusha. But in Egypt itself, the people itself, the Erev Rav that we took out with us, there wasn't completely removed the Kedusha from them. So all our tzaros, all the tzaros of the Jewish people throughout history came from the Jews themselves. That's the Erev Rav. Till today, those people, and there's a small amount of people who have dominion in the Jewish people, are the Erev Rav. And they cause the tzaros to Klal Yisrael. And that's the final biru. The final biru is the separation of the good and the bad of Klal Yisrael. And that's why we have goddess. We have this goddess is always to reveal the good, to remove the nitzotzot kedusha, the sparks of kedusha, and bring them out from the goyim, those who were nitwa ben goyim, and from the Jewish people itself. Vehi mi kates. So the first world kates, the midrash. Beinu Bechaya also brings it. It says as follows: kates lechoshech. Kate sam lechoshech, right? Ula kol tachlis hu choke even va'ofel v'sal mavet. I.e. the nullification of all ra. This is what Miketz is about. Yosef is now who represents the Shechina in Golus. That's the concept of Yosef. Like we spoke last week, that Yosef is this Bechina of Chanukah, the Ner, the Shechina, that goes down into the Rosh Hashanah. Goes down into the lower worlds. That's why you light near Hanukkah between 3 Tfachim and 10, because 10 is the Rosh Hashanah, until 10 Tfachim. You don't light it below 3, because if it's below 3, it's Karka. That's Mamish in the Ra. You light above 3, but it's still within the Shlosh, the Eser Tfachim, right? If you where do we learn also this concept that till Eser Tfachim is the world, is the Rosh Hashanah. You know where we learn it from? It's a Gemara and Sukkah. Yeah, we learn it from the Kruvim. The Aaron had Kruvim, so it was until 10 Tfachim. Hi. So till 10 Tfach, we know, is the domain of Bnei Adam, of a person. Above 10 Tfachim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain, right? Yeah. You with me? So why is it that we learn this dominion? Because the Aaron represents the Shechina B'tachtonim. That's what the Aaron represents. The Chibu, the place of Chibu, of the Shechina, is on the Kruvim. So that's the place the higher worlds connect with the lower worlds. And the Aaron is that place. So that's why the Aaron, the height of the Aaron, represents the lower worlds. You with me? So we learn the Eset Tfachim from the Aaron. That's the Gemara and Sukkah. Why should we learn Rishus HaRabim from the place of the Aaron? Okay, so that's the upper world. Now, you're asking what's below the 10 Tfachim, the lower 10 Tfachim. So the shear of a bore is what? 10 Tfachim. That's a shear of a bore. The mazik, the bore is a mazik. So machlokas hevle the bore, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's chavata of the bore. Like the hitting of the ball.
Yeah.
Yosef's always found in this ball. The ball isn't a place for living. It's heavy, the ball. You're nechnak. You have no air. You can't breathe. It's not a place. That represents the lower worlds. The ra of the lower worlds. Yosef is always finding himself in a ball and coming out of the ball. And coming out. The ball, haborek ein bo mayim. That's the first ball that Yosef was found in. It's rake from Torah. What do you have? Nechashim, which is a nachash akadmon. That's the concept of nachash is a concept of gaiva. And akravim is a concept of Taiva. Akrav is Ayin Karev. Ayin is Shivim Umas. Karev is Loshen of coming close to Shivim Umas. What do you mean coming close to Shivim Umas? Means when you're Nohig like Shivim Umas, you're Nohig like the people of the world. Ayin is 70, the 70 peoples of the world. And Karov is coming close. That's the Akrav brings you the kirva to the hanhaga, the ways of the Shivim Umas.
So moves you further away from Yiddish.
Yeah,
that's so the scorpion.
The Nachash, right? Is you when you kitzetzet rosh, you cut its head. The Rachnum is the rosh. The Nachashim is the gaiva. So that's the gaiva and the taiva. The how you say gaiva? The arrogance and the desires. Right? Those are the two main yetzaharas in the world. Right? It's Saur and Chometz. Saur is the leaven, like the that which causes you to go high. That's the gaiva. And Chometz, right? Chametz is the taiva. Saur should be Issa Yetzahara, right? Taiva. And Davka the Gros says the Saur is connected the Erev Rav. It's connected those parts of the Jewish people which are associated with Ra.
What's
Saur? Saur is yeast. That's which causes the bread to rise. Chametz is the bread which is risen, right? Flat bread. Matzah doesn't have any taste. Matzah is not tasty. Bread which is written, which is, you know, hot bread, which is represents good, tasty bread. That goes back to what we said about the Sara Ofer. Sara Ofer represents the Saur Shebeisa. In the times of Chazal, you know, the baker used to make the yeast and he used to make the bread, right? So that represents those two taivas which are nullified in the dream of Sara Ofer. Erev Rav is a concept amongst the Jewish people, but it's also a concept within us. It's always like that in Torah. The concept is a concept in Klalius, and it's also in Pratius. That means everything we speak about Golas is also speaking about our own personal Golas.
It's really the Yetzirah.
Yeah, it's the Yetzirah. It's a mixture of good and ra. It's the Eitz Tov V'ra. The Eitz Das Tov V'ra. It's a mixture. That caused a confusion. That caused the mixture of Tov V'ra in the world. That was supposed to be separated in Golas Mitzrayim. It wasn't separated. So all the other Golas are there to separate the good from the Ra. And that's what these dreams are all about. Who dreamt this dream? This is a dream of Paro. Paro, we know, is king of Egypt. The Malchus of Paro, says the Arizal, the Malchus of Egypt was the Keter, was the crown of all the Ra. Paro represented the crown of all this Ra. So when we're hearing the dreams of Paro, we're hearing about the tops of the Ra in the world. And what's going to happen to the Keter, the crown, the king who represents this Ra in the world, what's happening to him, and therefore what's happening to everything underneath him. Because he's the king. So whatever happens to him, happens to his whole people, happens to the whole Kuma, the whole concept of Ra in the world. So now what's Paro's dream? So he says, Vine min hayo'or, from the Nile. Now yo'or is a lotion of awe. Right? It's a lotion of light. Olot sheva parot yefot. Comes out seven beautiful. Right? Lotion of beautiful. Parot.
Cows.
Mar'e ubriot basar. The yafot mare, they look good, and the flesh, they're healthy in flesh. Vitir ena ba'achu, and they are grazing on the sides, right? And it says, now we have sheva parot acherot, olot acharehem mina yo'o, ra'ot mare, bad in look, v'dakot basar, and thin in basar, v'tamot na etzo parot asvata yo'o, v'tochalna. And they ate the parot haro'ot hamare dakot basa. Et sheva parot yafot mare briot v'yikatz paro. And paro v'yikatz, woke up. Also we said, what does v'yikatz mean? Kates, end. That's the end of paro. Paro was finished. So this dream is explaining the destruction of paro. Seven, we know, seven's associated with the 7 days of the week. That's all of physicality. That's what Egypt represent. Egypt represent the world of physicality for the physical. Yeah? That was, and what's a para? Why dafka a cow? Cows are lost in the para, para rava, puruvu, to be fruitful. All a para is physicality. It's just a meat machine, a milk machine. That's all it is. It's pure physicality. So the pure physicality, the beauty, and remember it's talked about beauty, mar'eh, yafot mar'eh. The beauty of the physical world is going to be destroyed. It's going to be nullified from itself. From itself. The parot are going to, you're going to see, everyone, when you first see the physical world, it seems beautiful. It seems enticing. But it itself, is that what is going to cause its own destruction? It's going to come to its end. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
That's this. That's what this dream represents: the destruction of the physical world, right? I.e., the physicality of the physical world, not Chas v'Shalom, the physical world, the physicality of the physical world. That's what's represented in Paro. That's the first dream. You understand? They come from the Yeor. How they come, the Yo'or represents the Nile, that all the sustenance comes from the Nile. They're coming from the sustenance. That means in the Makor Mitzrayim, the first place was destroyed was the Yo'or. That's Makas Dam. That's what Rabbeinu Bechaya says. That's what it represents. Yo'or also, we said, represents all. I.e., the sustenance of the physical world comes from this all of the Divine Presence. The world gets its sustenance from the Yo'or, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's going to be nullified. That's going to be taken away. The Ra has no koach without Yenika, without drawing its sustenance from Kedusha. It has no koach. The way to remove the Ra from the world is to remove that koach HaKedusha. And that's what Yosef does. That's the concept of Yosef. We're going to learn this soon. You'll see how Yosef does that. It's exactly how he does that. Then we have the dream of the 7 shibolim, the 7 wheat stalks, right? They go up with what kind of? Briot v'tovot. Here it says briot v'tovot. It doesn't say mare. They're briot and they're good, right? V'ne sheva shibolim dakot shdufot kadim. Somchot acharem they come and they absorb them. So we see v'ikatz paro, and again v'ikatz paro, right? That's the end of paro. So what did the shibolim represent? Different from what the paro represents. We said the paro represents the physicality. Wheat stands high up. It's the same concept. The concept of physicality, which is taiva, and the concept of the shibolim, which is wheat, represents chochma, which is gaiva. Which can be gaiva. A person, a bal gaiva, is generally a person who's, people who are chachamim, who are wise, have a more tendency to arrogance. That's chochma. I have the complete destruction of the chochma Mitzrayim. Not only the physicality of Mitzrayim, the lower self of Mitzrayim, the lower guf, but the chochma means the head of Mitzrayim. That represents the shibolim. In the end of Parashas Vayera, right, we're going to learn this on Hashem, it speaks at the end of the Parasha that the Pishta V'Sa'ora, right, Nuktu, at the end of the Parasha, right, that was the Makas Barad, right? The Pishta, which we said represents a Pishtin, which represents the Ra, and Sa'ora is Loshin Se'ir, is also a concept of Ra, they were Nukata, they were destroyed. Ki Sa'ora Aviv, Vapishta give all. Vachita vakusemet lo nuku. Kiafela taima. They come on later on. They weren't yet destroyed. When was the chita destroyed? That was in the later Makas. That was the Makas Bechoras. Right? That was the later Makas. Because Chochma, the Bechoras, represents the final destruction of Egypt. The Bechor represents like the top. Right? The firstborn, he was the one who's going to be next in head. That means there was no going to be head for Paro. All the Bechorah were destroyed. That means all the next in line, the reign, was going to be destroyed. That represented the destruction, the Luchit, the destruction of the Chochmah, the destruction of the higher platform of Egypt. So that's what the Chita represents. Chita represents that higher platform, that even the higher platform, i.e. the head, so to speak, of the Ra, is going to be destroyed. And that head is associated with what? Gaiva. Taiva is associated with the lower body. Your head is associated with the arrogance, the thinking that you know it all. You can do it all. It's only dependent on you. Right? That's what they say. The world thinks that, you know, you made an iPhone, you can go to the moon, you can do whatever you can do. Man has complete dominion over the world. That was also the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, the destruction of the Tower of Babel, represented the Gaiva in the world. The Teva of Noah represented the Taiva in the world, the destruction of the earth, the destruction of the physicality of the world, the renewal of physicality, right? You with me?
Yeah.
Then the drinking of wine. Drinking of wine is always associated with the going down to the physical world and destroying it. That's what with Canaan and with, we spoke about this with Noah. He planted the vineyard and he drank, and then what happened with Canaan? Canaan represents physicality, destruction of the physical.
Well,
he tried, but it didn't work. The wine is always there to bring out the Kedusha by going down to the lower level. So that's why Mashiach is always going to come from a lower level. Because Mashiach, the purpose of Mashiach is to bring out the Kedusha from that lower level, to bring it back. That's why David HaMelech, Hikim Ulo Shetshuvah, Yehuda, in last week, a few weeks past, years ago, right? Yehuda, Yarad Yehuda, and he came back. He came back from a lower place to a higher place. There's always going to be Yehuda. Yosef is a different form. We said Yosef is the one who connects with the physical world and brings it back. And that's what we're going to see now. So now Yosef, we know the story. Yosef gives an answer to the dreams. 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And, you know, he has to be organized. All of this was for Yosef to have dominion over Egypt. That before the Jewish people entered Egypt, Yosef would be Sholet. Yosef would have the dominion over Egypt, which represented the Ra in the world. Yosef always goes into this Bor. The Bor represents the lower worlds. He goes down into the lower worlds, and he always, the Shekhinah is with him. Matza Chen. You always find, Yosef finds Chen. The concept of Chen, I explained to you, the concept of Chen is Chochmah, Nun is Yanun. I'm telling you, Likutei Moran. Chen represents the connection of the higher world with the lower worlds. When I say higher worlds, the higher spiritual world with the lower worlds. That's Malchus. When there's Chen, when a person has Chen, he represents a complete connection of the upper worlds with the lower worlds. That's what Yosef. Yosef always finds Chen. That's why it's beauty. That beauty is associated with Yosef. Yosef's the one who connects the higher worlds to the lower worlds. And when he does that, he always finds himself in the lower worlds. Because by connecting the higher worlds to the lower worlds, you then bring back the lower worlds to its proper place. And that's the nullification of the Ra. That's how you nullify the Ra. And like we said, it's on Hanukkah, these parashas. The concept of Yosef, the concept of Ne'er Hanukkah, the Shekhinah in the lower worlds. Ne'er Shabbos is not. Ne'er Shabbos represents the Mishkan. Your house is the Mishkan. The menorah of Ne'er Shabbos is a menorah inside your house. You nene from that awe. You benefit from that awe. When you go down to the Ra, you can't benefit from the awe. That awe cannot be benefited from. Because if that awe is benefited from, the Ra benefits it from it. And then you have Ashpa of the Ra in the world. So the Ner of Hanukkah you can't have benefit from. Because it goes down into the lower worlds. And if you're benefiting there, you're benefiting from the Ra. Or the Ra is benefiting from Ner Hanukkah, which is the Kedusha going down to the lower world. So that's why Ner Hanukkah, you can't benefit. Ner Shabbos, the whole purpose of Ner Shabbos is to benefit for it. Because that's the concept of Shekhinah in Elyon, in Shekhinah in the Mikdash. Our house is the Mokum HaMikdash. The Ner Shabbos is connected to the Neris of in Sarah, the Ner by Rivka, by Rachel, the Ner that was Dolek. That represents Shekhinah the base ha'avos, in the house of the avos, which is the Mishkan, represents the Mishkan, the concept of the Beis HaMikdash, yeah? Comes up from this ball, from the prisons of Paro, right? That he was put there by Potiphar, right? Because of the Maisa that happened with him. And then Yosef mentions to Paro, Vayome Paro, Shlishi, when Shlishi, I skipped. Vayome Paro Yosef, Acharei hodia Elokim, Otcha, et kol zot, after God told you all of this, Ein Navon Chacham Kamocha. Here, Paro recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew it, but now there's a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved. Yosef brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a hodah to Paro. That's the beginning. The hodah, the Paro said, now that God told you all of this, it still wasn't the heights of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was still Elohim, it could be Elohim Acherim, right? From Elohim, he saw these forces, right? That came from one source, but it could be associated with disparity of forces. That's why Shem Elohim is the name for Avodah Zarah as well, right? Because Elohim represents these forces in the world. These forces can come from one source, these forces can be a disparity of forces. But there was a Hodah here. So it's the beginning. And now he puts Yosef in charge. And he puts a Merkavet Mishnah. He calls him Avrech. Av b'chochma rach b'shanim. Yosef hu ha-shalit. Yosef is the one who has dominion over Mitzrayim. Now, what happens? Yosef is called, what is he called? How did Mitzrayim call Yosef? V'yikra paro shem. Yosef, sofnat paneach. What's sofnat paneach? What's sofnat paneach? Mefarish hatzfunot. He explains that which is hidden. V'ein lefaneach dimyon b'mikra. I don't find this in another place in Pasuk. This is its place. He, the Sfunot, Paneach, he explains, he reveals that which is hidden. That's the Midah of Yosef. The Midah of Yosef is to go into Golas and reveal those hidden lights, those hidden sparks, and be Osefotam, Ma'asef. Yosef is the Ma'asef. He's the one who gathers them back in. So that's what we're going to see. What does Yosef do now? So after Paro calls him Sofnat Paneach, what does he do? V'yitein lo et osnat bat poti pera. Kohen On. She was, right? The daughter of the Kohen of On. The Kohen of the Avodah Zarah. Le'isha. Yosef's going to marry the daughter of someone who represents the Avodah Zarah of Yitzrayim. Paro gave the Yetzir Yosef Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now, what are you saying here? So it says, that can't be. So the Midrash says, Ki Osnat was the daughter of Dina, who, from the relationship with Shechem. And Yaakov sent her away from his house because she came from illicit relationship. Shechem represents what we said. Shechem represented the Ra in the world. Right? So he didn't want Osnat being associated. So what he did, Yaakov tied on her and wrote her an amulet saying, anyone who's going to connect with her is connecting with Zara Shul Yaakov. And Yosef, when he married her, saw this, and that's why he married her. And that was the final bureau. Now, if we understand, this is a very, very deep thing happening here. What's happening here? Dina, first of all, we understand here, we're in Chanukah. Miketz, always in Chanukah. That's right, always Shabbos Chanukah. So it's to do with Chanukah. The Megala Mukim, I told you, we learned the parasha of Dina. The Makor for Chanukah is in the parasha of Dina. I'll explain that. But I'm not going to go into the details now. Explain that already. We learned that.
that Jesus and Mace.
So, this is the concept of, we said that what happened with Dina, we explained before, was the concept of Hanukkah. Here now, Yosef is finally, after, remember that Potiphar was connecting with Yosef, and we explained that Yosef was connecting to the Ra to fix it. It says here in the parasha that, why is he called Potiphar, right? Because he was Nisras. His name, who? Potiphar. V'nikra Potiphar, ashe nistares me'elav. He became because he desired connection with Yosef. The sterility of the lower worlds. You see that what happened with Noah when he connected with Ham, he became sterile. Either Ra had effect on him that he couldn't be functional, he couldn't be expressive. But when the Ra, then that's what's represented in Potiphar, when the Ra is Nistares, it means the Ra has no expression. Mm-hmm. So Yosef did his job by Potiphar. He removed the Ra there. Now the final thing after you remove the Ra from a certain place, you connect that which was lost in the Ra to Kedusha. That's Osnat. So the reconnection with Osnat is the reconnection of all parts of Yaakov, even those lower parts which were brought out from Shechem. We explained that Shechem, v'tidbak nafsho, that Shechem, the Orochayim there, we explained that. The Orochayim says that the Kedusha that was in Shechem was brought out from Dina, because Dina was supposed to be what? Dina was supposed to be Yosef. Leah was supposed to have another son, another Shevet. Leah davened that Dina would be a girl. So she had the concept of Yosef. She was going to, and instead of being born to Leah, Yosef was therefore born to Rachel. So Dina was the female aspect of Yosef. Uh-huh. So Dina's daughter is this female aspect of Yosef. She has the female of Dina is the same concept, the concept of Bimavare, bringing back the Kedusha. That's what she did with Shechem. Now, Osnat, who represents the bringing back of the Kedusha, is the final connection of Yosef to bring that spark of Kedusha from the Ra in the world back to Klal Yisrael. And that's the connection of Yosef to Osnat. So Yosef, this connection was in Yosef's own life. Now we're going to see, Yosef has Ephraim and Manasseh. What they represent? They represent living in Golus. They represent two midas of Golus. We're going to explain that if we get there, B'zal Hashem. Or this week's parasha, next week's parasha, we'll explain it. B'zal Hashem. Okay? Osnat was the connection of the Jewish people to Shechem, which means the Ra or the Akum or the Goyim, right? That's Osnat, came from that Chibu. Who came from Yosef? Pinchas. Pinchas came from Yitro, which is the Birur of his first bringing Yitro to Klal Yisrael. Yitro is the first Gear. So it's a bureau of the that's a bringing back of a spark of Kedusha back to Klal Yisrael. And Yitro, when you learn Parshas Yitro, it's a whole Parsha. But when you learn Yitro, Yitro is a concept of Yeta, extra. Yitta Parsha Betorah, that's his main name, Yitro. We see that's his main name he's called. He's called other names, right? But that's his main name. That's the concept of Torah Shebaal Peh. I'm going to explain that the concept of Torah Shebaal Peh is this concept of Biru of the sparks of Kedusha from the Klipa. Whenever we learn Torah Shebaal Peh, it says Zerizal, we're Mevarer from the Klipa, from the Ra, sparks of Kedusha. That's the Kushiyot, that's the Kashas of the Teretz. It's a concept of Torah Shebaal Peh. Yitro, who represents Torah Shebaal Peh, right? He's the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why it says, Zari, that all Torah Shebaal Peh comes from Gerim. Shmai Avtalion was Gerim. Beis Hillel Beit Shammai came from Shmai Avtalion. Rabbi Akiva was Ben Gerim, right? Rabbi Meir came from Gerim. Kesa, right? Whoa. The Torah Shebaal Peh, like the big people in Torah Shebaal Peh, came from Gerim. Unklus, which is a Targum of Torah, which is like a Perush, which is the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh on a Torah level, is Unklus the Ger.
Whoa.
Right? So this concept of Torah Shebaal Peh is this Torah of Yitro. Well, that was one side of Pinchas. The other side of Pinchas was what? Yosef, Shepit Bet B'Yitzro. The fight with Potiphar. Pit Bet B'Yitzro. From that concept came Pinchas. What did Pinchas do? Pinchas was the concept of separating Klal Yisrael from the Goyim and from Avodah Zarah. That's what Pinchas was. So you, and that came from this chibur of Yitro and Yosef, which is the similar concept in that sense. Since the whole concept of Yosef, when Yosef was had Yosef not been born, we see from Chazal that Rachel, Esau had his eyes on Rachel, his eye and ara on Rachel. Yosef stood in front of Rachel. The birth of Yosef was Yochel's protection from Esau. And that's what he did. He stood in front of Esau. The standing in front of him protecting, he was Zoche to Ayin Tova. So Yosef is the protection of Klal Yisrael from Esau. And that's why Yosef is the one who always goes first into God to protect us, and then we come to God. And that's what's happening in this parasha. Yosef goes down now into Golis, and what does he do? He changes the whole scene. He gets now that he's put in charge of Mitzrayim, they don't have what to eat. So Paro asked them, this is Rashi I'm telling you, Paro asked them, no, what's the, why didn't you listen to Yosef? And you did, why didn't you keep your produce for the famine years? And he said, we kept it, and it got destroyed. So then Paro says, listen to Yosef. What does Yosef do? He says, do Bris Mila. So his brothers, when they come into Egypt, won't look different.
Right.
He switches them all around, and later at the end of the parasha, he switches them all around to different places. So when his brothers come to live in a land which is strange to them, everyone's living in a land which is strange to them. Mm-hmm. Yosef sets up the Golos so that it's easy for Klal Yisrael. So when Klal Yisrael come into Egypt, they don't have this problem with the Egyptians. They're not. And what does it say? What does Yosef do? He gathers all. What does he do? He gathers all the sheva, all those which were lost. We see the loshen of sheva is used in a good way. All the lost sparks he gathers. That's the Mo'or v'Shemesh says. That's what the sheva represents. And we see that. V'yah Yaakov ki yesh sheva Mitzrayim. There's hope. There's tikva in Mitzrayim. That's why he sends the brothers in. He sends the brothers into Mitzrayim to get. Don't look as if you have. Go and get like everyone else is getting. And it's a very funny Rashi, this Rashi says. Look at the Rashi. So Rashi, Pasuk Aleph says, Lama titru, Lama titru atzbechem b'fnei b'nei yishma b'nei esau kilu atem sveim, as if you have. They don't have, and you look as if you have. Go down to Egypt. Why is it mentioned b'nei yishma b'nei esau?
Because they're his family, he doesn't want them.
In going down to Egypt, he's telling mention yishma and esau. Why? Remember, this going down to Egypt is a remez. The Golas Mitzrayim. This going down now brings the Jewish people into Mitzrayim.
Right.
So what's Yaakov telling him? We need to go down to Egypt. Why? Because we seem as if we have in the eyes of Yishmael and Esav. So therefore we have to go down to Egypt. We have to go down to Egypt to fix Yishmael and Esav. That's the Golos. The Golos of Yishmael and Esau is going to be fixed in Egypt. We didn't fix. That's what we have throughout the end of days, this Golos of Yishmael and Esau. But that's the remez in Rashi here. We're going down because of them. Because of Yishmael and Esau, we're going down to fix them. We didn't fix, so we're still in that Golos. We said before, the Golos of Yishmael and Esau is the Golos connected Yaakov. That's what we said. Remember that before Golos v'yetze Yaakov, but Esav marries Bat Yishmael. That's the final goddess, the goddess of Esav and Yishmael. And that's why we're going to Egypt, to fix that goddess.